everybody. What's up? How are you all doing? Hope you all had a great week. Man, you know, last podcast I was talking about rain and taking care of horses, keeping their hooves nice and dry and free from thrush. Dude, this past weekend it rained cats and dogs for like 3 days. I'm sure some of you saw footage of flooding in San Diego. There was actually a video that went viral of a white car floating down the San Diego River. That was scary stuff. Tons of rain. And the rain is the reason why this podcast is late this week. I do apologize. And they say we're going to have another big storm next weekend. I'm so excited. All right, so before we start this episode, I got a couple of notes in the mailbag from folks who, let's just say, they found it hard to believe that I wasn't hurt by people walking out of the premiere of the hike at the Pasadena Film Festival. And like I said, it was less than five people. I mean, you can count on one hand how many people actually got up and left after that monologue that Grady gave that's very obscene. A few of you, I think, feel like I'm bullshitting you. Well, I'm really not. Some of it has to do with age, and we've talked about that before. You know, you youngsters, you're so concerned about what people think about you. And admittedly, when I was your age, I was the same way. And that was pre-social media. Now with social media, I feel sorry for you guys. You must be under so much anxiety with social media. I just can't fathom it. But you know, when I was your age, we didn't have social media. We didn't have cell phones. But I still cared about what people thought of me. And I promise you, as you get older, that will slowly fade away. My wife and I were actually talking about it. She's in the same boat. Now, she is still on social media and she checks it. But we had a discussion about, you know, we don't care. If she posts something and somebody doesn't like it, she doesn't care. So by the time the hike premiered, I was at that age where many years had passed since I cared what people thought. And it also goes back to mindset. I mean, I grew up watching movies, loving movies, always wanted to make a movie, act in a movie. But it wasn't until film school that I really embraced the idea that filmmaking is storytelling. And just imagine you're with your friends and you tell them a story. When you're done with that story, it's crickets. Everybody's just staring at you. There's no emotion. You didn't make them sad. You didn't make them happy. They're just like catatonic looking at you. So that's the way I look at filmmaking and storytelling, which is what filmmakers are. If you're a filmmaker, you're a storyteller. And I've said it many times and I'll say it again right now. Your goal is to move people with a story, just like your goal is to move people with a story in person when you're standing in a group of people and you decide to bloviate about something that happened to you. You think it's funny. You want others to think it's funny. You think it's sad. You want others to feel sympathetic to what happened to you. Same thing with a movie. If I can't move somebody's emotions watching a movie, and that's positively or negatively, it doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't. When those people got up, okay, let me backtrack. My editor and I were sitting in the back row. I sat next to him. My wife had some friends with her, so she went down and sat with her friends. And these people walked past where I was sitting with my editor. And I was honestly happy. I was honestly content with that because I moved them in a negative way, but that's okay. That was my mindset. Love my movie or hate my movie. That was my goal. My goal was not to make a mediocre film, to make a shoulder shrug. Yeah, I've seen better, I've seen worse. Ho-hum. So I hope that makes sense to you guys. And trust me, I will never bullshit you. If I tell you I felt one way or another, I am telling you the truth. And if it did hurt me, I would fess up to that. So let's get on with the show. Let's talk about transitions. So during production, it is imperative that you shoot your transitions if you're going to shoot transitions. Now, why do I say that? Because as a filmmaker, you have two options. You can shoot transitions or you can peruse the mighty internet and find all the companies that sell stock footage. And you can buy stock footage. And when I say buy stock footage, what you're doing is you're paying for a license to put that stock footage in your movie. Now, you know, stock footage is the same as music, is the same as sound effects. If you don't pay for the license, you're running the risk of a lawsuit, at least a cease and desist letter. But if you have a movie and you made a movie and it's locked and you even punched out some DVDs or Blu-rays and you get this letter, what's the recourse of that? It's already done. Are you going to go back in and take out the stock footage? I mean, I guess you could, but yeah, just head that off before it gets to that point, please. Go ahead, pay for the license. Now, you'll have to look at the license because a lot of library stock footage houses have like an internet license and then they have a public license for like theaters. So for those of you who remember a past episode, I talked to you about the music license that I got for the various songs that are in The Hike. I got an internet license. And if my movie played theaters, or let's just say I sold my movie to a distributor, the distributor would have to get a license for theater showings. They separate those two. And I'm assuming that stock footage companies also have two different licenses. So if you just want to put it online on YouTube, you pay one fee. But if you want to send it out to the masses in a theater run, then you have to pay another fee. And obviously the theater run fee is going to be more expensive. Those are your two options for transitions. Now, some of you, just quickly, let's talk about what a transition is. A transition is basically a bridge between scenes. A transition is going to show you if there's a change in locale. A transition can show you where you start or where you finish as far as this journey goes. A transition can be a mood, a theme, a shot that satisfies the mood of the movie or satisfies or wraps in together with the theme of the movie. I kind of used one of those transitions as far as the theme, the mood. I have a shot in The Hike, and it's a transition shot, and it's a shot of this dead mule deer. Well, actually, it's not a dead mule deer. It was at one point, but it's taxidermied. It's a stuffed dead mule deer that I had to go up to LA and get. And I stole that idea from Oliver Stone. Now, this Oliver Stone movie was called U-Turn. And it's all about Sean Penn driving through the desert and his car breaks down. And his car breaks down close to this little, tiny little town. For those of you who have driven to Vegas from SoCal, it's like Baker, Nevada. I broke down once. Coming back from Vegas, back home to SoCal, I had just crested the top of the mountain. So when you leave Vegas on 15, going back to SoCal, you got about 45 minutes outside of Vegas, and then you go up the mountain, and then you stay at a high elevation for a while. And the only thing between Vegas and Barstow is Baker. My alternator went out, and I had the car towed to a shop in Baker, which was like the only auto repair shop, and they couldn't help me. So then I had to have the car towed to Barstow, and my tow bill was like $700. But yeah, U-Turn. It's a great cast. Oliver Stone uses a lot of transition shots of heat. He wants you to know how hot it is. So there's lots of shots where you see the heat rising off the road, dead animals, because the tone of the movie is very ominous. So you think death is just around every corner, that kind of thing. It's a good movie. You should check it out. With Sean Penn and Jennifer Lopez and a great cast, Billy Bob, Joaquin Phoenix, before he was the A-lister that he is now, a bunch of people. And he used a lot of transition shots of dead animals. It just kind of matched the theme and the mood of the movie. If you're setting your film in the desert, you can shoot a transition shot of a road with like those heat lines coming off the road. You know, when it's really hot and you look at the road and there's these wavy lines and it just kind of like screws up the visual. You know what I'm talking about. That's been done a million times, especially in the desert. There's a classic shot in Lawrence of Arabia. The shot is a sand dune, and Lawrence of Arabia is walking towards the camera, and all you see is this black silhouette, and you see these heat waves, these heat lines coming off the sand. I don't know what they're called. There's a specific name for them. I'll have to look it up. Same thing with cold. If you're shooting in a snowy condition, you can use a transition shot of snow. Snow on top of a roof, a snowman, a snowplow, you know, whatever. If it coincides with what's going on in your movie, you can use it as a transition shot. Passage of time. Transition shots can move you in time, can move the story forward or backward in time by the simple use of a transition shot. There's many uses for transition shots, but you have to think them out. Before you get to production, you have to know where they're going to be. Just read your script, see the movie in your head, and when you get to a page where there's a new scene, think about how you're going to bridge the previous scene with the new scene. Now, sometimes that's very easy. If someone's going to take a trip, you're going to show they move from one location to another. So if they're flying, maybe you'll show an airplane. If they're driving, maybe you'll show a car driving away. The transition shots that are so often used are airplane shots. You see an airplane taking off. You see an airplane landing. I know most of you probably know that the cinematographer of that particular movie that shot is in did not go to the airport and get out on the tarmac and shoot a plane landing or taking off. Or how about that classic shot of the cameras in like where the wheel well is? So the wheel well opens up and the landing gear goes down. You know, those are all library shots. Those are all stock footage shots. For the hike, since it took place during like an 8-hour period, 6-hour, 8-hour period, all in one basic general location, give or take half a mile one way or another, in the story, not in real life, not shooting wise. To show the passage of time, you know, we just shot the sky, we shot clouds. I would recommend highly that you put a drone shot in your movie if you have a chance to put a drone shot in your movie. Drone shots add a production value to your film. And like I had said previously, when we shot The Hike, drone cameras were just beginning to become popular. There were just a handful of people who could fly a drone with a camera attached to it and do a good job. And I actually looked into it, and the people that could do it well were in LA, and they wanted a lot of money at that time. Fast forward 5, 6, 7 years. There are so many people who can shoot great drone footage, and it's not expensive because there's so many people who do it. Remember, supply and demand. If the supply is low and the demand is high, it's going to be very expensive. And the opposite of that is if you have tons of people who can shoot drone footage, then they all want to compete for your dollar, and you're going to get it much cheaper. In the beginning of The Hike, I wanted to pay homage to The Shining, and I wanted a drone shot of Brooke driving her car, and we could see it was out in the sticks. But I wish I could have done it. So yeah, if you have an opportunity to put a drone shot in your movie, use a drone shot as a transition. And you've seen that drone shot, and a lot of it is stock footage, but it's still a drone shot. It used to be a helicopter shot back in the day, but now it's a drone shot. So you're in a large city and the camera is looking straight down onto the rooftops of buildings and the camera is slowly moving. You see that that's like the king of transition shots right now. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that shot in the last year on television, in series, in movies, whatever. So the strategy that we used, I had decided early on I wasn't going to get any stock footage, that I really didn't need it since the location, like I said, there's no moving from out in the woods, away from everything, a very suburban setting, into the big city. Now, you know, if we would have had Brooke and Derek move from out in the sticks to a city, I would have used a stock footage shot of a bigger city to show where they were going, right? So just a passage of time kind of transition shot was just the sky, trees, the hills, tilting up, tilting down. You know, at the end of a shot, you can tilt up to the sky, and then the next shot tilt from the sky down to the action going on. So anyway, back to the strategy. The strategy was the camera crew would get out at the crack of dawn. I mean, they were ready to shoot when the sun came up and they had light. And our call time wasn't until like an hour, hour and a half later. So in that span of time, they went out and they shot B-roll, and that's what they call it, B-roll, and that's where the transition shots are. So they would just go out, the camera crew, jump in a car. You know, we had some shots of, there was a dead rattlesnake by the road. We shot that, but we didn't use it. So yeah, that was the strategy that we used. You can do it first thing in the morning, or if you wrap and you still have daylight, you can do it later in the day. You can always shoot interior transition shots as well. You see this all the time in horror movies. There's creepy things that are shot that are used as transition shots, creepy items. Sometimes they'll show you an item that's going to come into play later in the movie. The only thing about transition shots that are interior is you got to light them. So it's going to take a little bit more time. But yeah, transition shots, interior, exterior, whatever you can think of in that wonderful cranium of yours, use it as a transition shot. So have a talk with your cinematographer. Tell him the transition shots that you see in your head. And then it'll be up to your cinematographer to get them done for you. And typically the cinematographer will go without you being there. Now, once again, I think that's dependent upon your cinematographer's experience. If you have an experienced cinematographer, he doesn't need you along. He's going to take his camera crew and they're going to go out and they're going to shoot some good B-roll for you. But if you have a cinematographer that is less experienced or wants to be sure they get exactly what you want, they might prefer, that cinematographer might prefer that you go with him or her. You know, play it by ear. If the cinematographer seems like he or she really doesn't want you to go along, that they got it handled, then let them go. But, you know, have that discussion and tell them what you're looking for. Don't just say, hey, I need some transition shots. Go. Can't do that. The guy or woman is there to help you. They want to help you make the best movie you possibly can. So you tell them what you want. They're going to bust their ass to give you that, for the most part, the majority of them. And I did allude to it previously, but I'm going to go back to it. If you watch The Hike, 55 minutes and 57 seconds in is when I do a transition shot, but it's not a transition shot. I put two scenes together using a transition where the camera tilts. You have three people walking away from the camera, and they're talking, and they get further away, and the camera slowly tilts up to the sky. And once all the trees and the hills are cleared, and all you see is blue sky or blue sky with clouds, then you cut. Now, the very next shot, you start with a shot of the sky. So you point the camera up to that same sky and tilt down. This is a new scene, but it's the next shot in the series of shots. So the blue sky is basically a transition between these two scenes. So the first shot, you're on the characters, you tilt up to the sky, you see the edit in your head, and when you get to the scene where you're going to start with the sky shot, point the camera up to the sky, tilt down, and catch the characters. That second shot of my transition also establishes a new location. So it kind of establishes time has passed. And then when the camera tilts down and you see what you're looking at, that's way different than where they were just at. So it's a change of locale as well. So always think of that too. If you want to bridge a couple of shots, but typically it's going to be a scene change. Not always. It could just be a time change and maybe just a half hour to an hour passes, or it can be hours. Does that make sense to you? But anyway, think about where you can possibly do a camera move like that that will transition you from one shot to the next or one scene to the next. This is all pre-production. You got to think this out ahead of time. So then when the cast and crew get ready for the shot, you know what to do. You know how to end the shot. And then for shot number two, you know how to begin the shot. Oh, by the way, just in case you were wondering, when I broke down coming back from Vegas, I had lost money in Vegas, like most people do. Though I did have a streak where I won. There was like a number of times that I won. But this particular time, I lost. And then I had a $700 tow bill. And then I had to buy a $100 alternator. And then I put it on in the parking lot of an AutoZone in Barstow, which got me home very late. It was not one of my better days in this life. All right, let's get out of here. Hope you all have a great week. And please, please, please be a lion, not a sheep. Later.